Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
Good morning, True North. How are we all doing this morning? So, as Matt said, my name is Bobby, and I am part of the teaching team here at True North, and we are in week four of our sermon series on heroes. If this is your first time ever joining us, I'd like to say welcome. You may be saying to yourself, are you sure I'm in church because this is kind of strange? Yes, you are. Yes, it is. And it's just kind of how we roll around here. So several months ago, Pastor Bert had called me up and he said, we're going to be doing a summer sermon series on superheroes. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And then he said, so I'm going to need you to choose a superhero to teach on. And I went, oh, no. How am I going to make that decision? By what criteria does one gauge their choice for something like that? Because you see, I'm a pretty big comic book geek. From about fifth to seventh grade, comic books were life. There's comics in Wanto with my friends. I remember my dad taking me to Midtown Comics in the city for the first time and just walking in there wanting to drop to my knees because I just entered paradise. I used to study Marvel Universe books, which are basically superhero encyclopedias, like it was my job. Okay? That's how much I'm into comic books. Though, as I got older, comics kind of took more of a back seat in my life, I still take them pretty seriously today. You know how in most households, like it's either your Yankees fans or Mets fans, Islanders, Rangers, Jets, Giants? Well, for me, it's about Marvel versus DC. And we're a Marvel household. Let me show you something. I have a picture up here. Okay, so this is a profile that my 9-year-old filled out in Uptown, which is our kids' ministry, okay? And they had to write about themselves, and they have likes and dislikes. If you look here, underlined likes, right there, you see it, Marvel superheroes, right? But that's not what sells it. Dislikes, DC superheroes. Kid put that number one before copycats. Copycats are the worst, but he put that one first. Now, DC fans in the room, don't get upset with me. I love you guys. You guys have some good heroes, but you know what? Part of the joy of being a parent is basically taking your kid's will and bending it to fit your own personal preferences, right? At least until they're teenagers, and then it's, Dad, we have to talk. I think I'm a DC man now. And I'm sure that's coming for me sooner than I would like. But speaking of teenagers, in case you haven't already realized, we are going to be talking about Spider-Man this morning. Yeah, some fans out there, right? Yeah, he is a big one. So for a little bit of background, Spider-Man was created in 1962 by the late, great Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. With a first appearance in Amazing Fantasy number 15. And if you would like to purchase a copy of that book today in decent to mint condition, that's going to cost you anywhere between $50,000 and $500,000. The last copy, I believe, sold a year ago for $450,000. Some of you in the room are old enough to maybe have seen that thing pass through your fingers. And you can go home and cry about that later on. It's just how it kind of goes in the comic book world. So, Spider-Man, right? The story of Peter Parker. Peter Parker is a teenager in high school from Queens, New York. Peter is an orphan, and he is raised by his Aunt May and his Uncle Ben. Now, Peter is also extremely brilliant, which makes him a little socially awkward as well. And at times, he's taunted by his peers. On a trip to a science fair with his class, Peter gets bitten by a radioactive spider and gets superpowers and becomes Spider-Man. Now, by the end of his introductory appearance, Spider-Man sees a thief. And he has a choice to stop this thief or let him pass him by. And Peter decides to let this thief go, which his indifference later costs him greatly, because that same thief goes on to murder his Uncle Ben. And by the very last frame of Amazing Fantasy number 15, we have an iconic quote that appears originally in the text box of that last frame. Later on, this quote is attributed as directly coming from Uncle Ben. I'm sure many of you are familiar. Finish it with me if you can. With great power comes great responsibility. Yes, it is ingrained into pop culture. In fact, when you realize we were talking about Spider-Man, you may have thought, okay, I think I know where this is going to go. Great power, great responsibility. And we'll touch on that and Uncle Ben a little bit later on, but it's not exactly where I want to take us this morning with Spider-Man. Now, I have a photo of Spider-Man, if we could bring that up. So Spider-Man, there he is. If you were to come up with a short list of some of the greatest superhero costumes of all time, Spider-Man is going to be pretty high on that list. It's a big part of his popularity. And unlike most of his fellow superheroes, Spider-Man's costume covers him completely. And it's not so much what his costume shows that matters, as much as what it doesn't show. You see, the first time you lay eyes on that character, completely covered in red and blue, without a trace of skin, you think to yourself, he could be anybody. He could be me. And while other superheroes' costumes reveal at least a part of their identity, Spider-Man is 100% anonymous. He could be of any ethnicity. He could be of any background. And again, it's a big part of why the character is so popular. With that in mind, I'd like to take a look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28, which says this: "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." When we put our faith in Jesus, when we choose to do that, we take a back seat. Our identity before is not our primary identity. You see, we make a decision to serve something, someone that's bigger than ourselves. Peter Parker puts on Spider-Man. Now, it's not only that when we look at Peter as Spider-Man, we can see ourselves possibly being the character, but Peter Parker is the best version of us if we were to be granted superpowers. Because, let's face it, this is a teenager in high school, a marginalized teenager in high school. If I'm granted superpowers, I am not going anonymously, not in high school. I'm going to Teen Wolf this thing. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Michael J. Fox, Teen Wolf, okay? And yes, I just use Teen Wolf as a verb, okay? Teen Wolfing, you know, that's where you suddenly discover you're a werewolf and immediately you use those powers to become the star player of the basketball team, the hit of every party. You drop all your friends like a rock to go date the captain of the cheerleading team. And then by the end of the movie, you teach everyone that goofy wolfman dance at the prom. Yeah, it was 85. Things got weird in film for a while there. So not only does Peter not choose to go this route, he chooses to do good. And not only does he choose to do good, he chooses to do so anonymously. Now, we hit this verse once in week 2 of the series, but I want us to go back to it. This is Matthew 6, 1 through 5, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." What is Jesus saying here? I think it could be summed up pretty concisely. Motives matter. Your motives matter to God. In doing good, your motives matter. We live in this world today that I think we're at a really unprecedented time, I would say, where we constantly have to battle with self-promotion, right? We have Facebook, and we have Instagram, and we have Twitter, and we have my personal favorite, LinkedIn. Where are my corporate folks at, right? Where the guy who pumps your gas is now a petroleum distribution technician. I'm guilty of it too. Go ahead, look up my LinkedIn profile. What I do is going to be way overblown for what I actually do. It's not lost on me. I'm right in it with you. I struggle with it. I'm on Instagram. There are times I put stuff up there, and 5 seconds later, I'm checking back to see who liked it. How many likes did I get? And then I'm scrolling through. Who liked it? Okay, this guy liked it. This guy liked it. She liked it, but she likes every piece of garbage that anyone puts on there, so that doesn't really count. You know, did this person like it? It's a struggle, right? But do we always need to be seen by people? Or can we take comfort in the fact that our Father in heaven sees us when no one else does? I want to play a clip from a Spider-Man movie for you guys this morning. And this clip is taken from a movie that came out last year called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Now, this is an animated film, which usually I don't really gravitate to with superhero films, but my kids really, really want to see it. And I saw it in the theater with them, and I was blown away. It was a great film. I could probably make an argument that it may be the best Spider-Man film released to date. It's that good. And it's free on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's up there. But to set up this clip, we're going to see Miles Morales, who is another teenager who has also gotten bit by a radioactive spider and has been granted abilities. In the short time he's had these abilities, he's been introduced to Spider-Man, and Spider-Man has kind of agreed, okay, maybe I'll take you on and show you some stuff. But before he can get to, Spider-Man actually dies. Peter Parker dies. And in this, and a speech by his wife, Mary Jane. We could roll that clip.
What's that about?
He's having a hard time, Jeff.
When it gets hard, that's when he's got to stick it out.
And I guess I'm not swallowing.
We interrupt this broadcast for a special report. Sad news tonight. The hero known as Spider-Man has died after injuries related to another powerful earthquake in Brooklyn. Multiple sources are confirming that Peter Parker, a 26-year-old grad student,
I'm not scared
operated as Spider-Man
of the dark. I'm not running. No, I'm not afraid of the fall. I'm not scared.
By his wife, Mary Jane.
I'm not scared.
By your partner. hero Spider-Man is gone.
My husband, Peter Parker, was an ordinary person. He always said it could have been anyone behind the mask. He was just the kid who happened to get bit.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
We were friends, you know.
Can I return it if it doesn't fit?
It always fits. Eventually.
He didn't ask for his powers. But he chose to be Spider-Man. My favorite thing about Peter is that he made us each feel powerful. We all have powers of one kind or another. But in our own way, we are all Spider-Man. And we're all counting on you.
They're counting on me. Probably not you specifically. I think it's a metaphor.
Some funny parts there. Like I said, it's a good movie. So there are a few things I want to touch on in that clip. When the broadcast is going on, the music starts to come up, so you may not have caught it, but the newscaster says it's been determined by multiple sources that Peter Parker operated as Spider-Man. Mary Jane says in her speech, Peter didn't ask for his powers, but he chose to be Spider-Man. And in our own way, we are all Spider-Man. For our purpose this morning, I'd change that a bit. And I would say that once we put our faith in Jesus, and we've decided to believe in Jesus, in our own way, we are all Jesus. When people look at you, who do they see? Who are you operating as? Take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says this: Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not of things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. It says your real life is hidden in Christ. Peter Parker is hidden in Spider-Man. But he's not lost in Spider-Man. You see, when Peter puts on Spider-Man, Peter is still present. He still brings all his insecurities and all his mess into that role, but he still chooses to do good. Did you know that you were called to be a blessing in someone else's life? Did you know that you were called to be Jesus to someone else? I don't know why God chose to do things this way, but you are part of his plan for someone else's life. And if you're waiting to get to some level in your faith before you move in that, I'm going to tell you a secret. You're going to be waiting a very, very long time. Because God, he's not waiting for you to be perfect before he uses you. Hear that this morning. I'd like to share a personal story with you guys. Several years ago, I was offered a job opportunity, and I really, really, really wanted this job. But after a lot of thought and consideration, I wound up turning the job down. And I had prayed about it, and I had a peace about it, and I was comfortable in my decision, but every so often it would gnaw at me. Maybe I made the wrong choice. Maybe I should have taken that job. Maybe I messed things up. Have you ever felt that way with a decision? So, one particular Sunday, several months later, I'm in church, and I'm listening to the sermon, And I don't recall exactly what the sermon was about, but it just came over me, that sense that I made the wrong choice. And I started focusing on it, and I was like, Bobby, man, you messed up. You messed up. You should have taken that job. When is something like that ever going to present itself again? You made a big mistake, and it was weighing on me. And that service ended, and I got up, and on the outside, I looked fine. But on the inside, I was a disaster. And I get up, and I see this dude sitting maybe 3 seats away from me. And I see him kind of glancing at me, and as I pass him, he stops me and says, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I said, sure. And he said, look, this is going to sound completely insane. And something like this has never happened to me before. And he looks at me and he says, that decision you made about your job, God doesn't want you to stress about it. He sees you. Well, my jaw just about dropped, as you can imagine, because I've never seen him before in my life. And honestly, even the circle of people who knew about that opportunity was extremely, extremely small. And a few weeks later, I'm going to get some coffee, right? And I see him at the coffee machine getting coffee. So I go over to him. And I was like, hey, how are you? My name's Bobby. And he's like, hey, I'm John. How are you? He goes, do you remember me? I said, yeah, man, I remember you. And he looks at me and he says, you know, I've seen you a few times in church since that one time. And I was afraid to come over to you because I honestly thought you were going to think I was kind of crazy. And I looked at him and I said, man, you have no idea how appropriate and the timing of what you said meant to me. Now, I have to be a little careful with that story because I don't want the takeaway to be like, oh, you know, we should go around telling people a bunch of crazy things that, you know, about their lives, okay? God does do stuff like this. But the litmus test for that, it's probably going to be something like you really don't want to do, right? You're going to be conflicted about that. What I do want the takeaway from this story to be is this. What if John decided, no, I'm not doing that? What if whatever was being impressed upon him to say that to me, he stuffed down, he's like, no way. No way, man, I'm not putting myself out there. I'm going to look like an imbecile. What if he did that? Well, Uncle Ben's not going to die because of it. I don't think so. I would have been okay. I wouldn't have been okay that day. John would have missed out on an opportunity to play a part in my life and my walk with God. You see, because ever since that day, whenever I'm faced with a decision or a choice I've made, and I think maybe I made the wrong one or my life is not on a trajectory that I think it should be, I go right back to that moment in my mind and I say, oh yeah, God sees me. Now last week, Pastor Bert delivered a sermon on Superman. Were you guys here for that, some of you? Great sermon, great sermon. I was sitting there listening to his sermon on Superman and the analogy he made between Jesus and Superman, how Superman wasn't from here, but he was raised here and he's a savior for mankind. And I'm sitting there listening to the sermon, I'm like, whoa. I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm following up with Spider-Man this week. Because if Superman could be compared to a savior and be compared to Jesus, well, Spider-Man, to me, he's us after we put our faith in Jesus. Because Peter Parker, he's just some teenager. He's a mess. He's a disaster area at times. But he still does good. And isn't that how God uses us? I mean, from the beginning of Scripture through to the end, this is what God does. He takes imperfect, messed up people to do great things for his kingdom. And I don't think it's always these grandiose gestures. Sometimes it is. Maybe someone's called to a mission field and, you know, to go to Africa or something like that. But more often than not, I think it's how we interact with other people in our lives. Spider-Man, he's a neighborhood Spider-Man. That dude's local. And now I know, right, with the reboot, two movies in, the guy's off in space already. But his heart was to serve where he was raised, in New York. That's the community he protects. So I would challenge you this morning, how can you be Jesus to someone else? What's being impressed upon you? I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe there's some neighbor that every morning you've waved to for the past 10 years, but you felt like maybe you should invite them over for dinner. Maybe there's some charity that you've been feeling to get involved with or give to. Maybe you've felt to volunteer your time here and you haven't taken the step. Maybe you know someone who's sick who you felt, I need to reach out to. Don't let that opportunity pass you by, because you can play a big role in someone else's life. You know, often we say here at True North, if you've been here a bunch, you'll hear it said, you can play the lead role in the story of you. You're allowed to do that. But I can tell you how that story ends. Or would you rather, as we read in Colossians this morning, put on Jesus and share in his glory that has no end? Would you think about that this morning? Let's pray. God, thank you for today, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for this series and for comics, Lord, and how we can find you almost everywhere, God. Lord, I just pray that you would show us how we can serve, Lord, how we can reach out to people and reflect you to others. Show us how we can put you on and be Jesus to other people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.